your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1. So we think of the Lord's Supper tonight. I thought it would be good for us to think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time we had a family visit our church that was from the Church of Christ. And one of the men and I went to visit that family as they were new to the area. And as we visited with that family, they were talking about their beliefs and their belief system. And I remember leaving that house saying to my partner, I said, you know, they talk about water, the water of baptism, the same way we talk about the blood. And I think it's important for us to think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And there are three Old Testament rituals that emphasize what Jesus did on the cross. The Passover feast, the Day of Atonement, and the ordinance of the red heifer. We want to look at each of those three tonight. John chapter 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a great truth here, as we read about the continuing work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood, of cleansing us from sin in our daily life. If we go to the Old Testament, we first of all want to look at Leviticus chapter number 16. Leviticus chapter number 16. It talks about the Day of Atonement. And the chapter starts off like this. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that when he come, that he come not at all times into the holy place, where within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. It kind of gives us an inference that maybe Nadab and Abihu, for some reason thought that they could go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, which the Bible is saying that the Holy of Holies could only be entered once a year. And it could only be entered by the high priest. And on that day, Aaron, who was the high priest, he alone would make an atonement for the holy place, because sinful men were going to come into the holy place and defile it. And then he was going to make another sacrifice for the sins of the people. And we read about that in verse 20. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle, the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now, there are two goats. There is a goat of the sin offering, and there's the goat of the scapegoat. Verse 15 talks about the goat of the skin offering. And then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And so we have two goats, certainly representing the Lord Jesus. One representing the Lord Jesus in his death, the other representing the Lord Jesus in his resurrection. And he will take the blood of the dead goat, the goat that is killed, whose blood is shed, and he will take it into the Holy of Holies, and there he will sprinkle that blood on the altar as an atonement for the sins of the people. And each one of these different things represent a specific aspect of the death of Christ. I believe that this probably emphasizes the aspect of the death of Christ, that a holy God's wrath had to be satisfied through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy of Holies, of course, was the place where the very cloud of God hovered. It was the very sense of the presence of a holy God. It was such a holy God that no man could go into that place, and only the high priest who had been appointed by God, who was representative of Jesus Christ, could go into that place. And he had to go in that place with blood to pay the ransom price, to pay the penalty for man's sin. And if you think of 1 John chapter number 2, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation. The wrath, the justice, the righteousness of a holy God had to be satisfied. And the Lord Jesus himself had to shed his blood for our sins. And so the Bible emphasizes how Jesus Christ one time dies on the cross, that and that he had to offer his own blood for the payment of our sins. And so the Bible emphasizes the blood of Christ, emphasizes the fact that it was done one time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23, it gives us some insights into that. Verse 9, verse 23, it says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. And here we have the inference that it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that had to be presented to the on the mercy seat of God in heaven as the payment for our sin, because we have a holy God. And because God is holy, in his love, he had to send the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have this foolish belief floating among mankind today that says, you know, well, God will just forgive. I remember witnessing to a Muslim lady who was educated in a Catholic school. And my wife and I were witnessing to her. And I said, well, you know, how are your sins going to be forgiven? And she said, oh, God will just forgive them. God will just forgive them. You know, no, God cannot just forgive them. A holy God had to have his justice met. A holy God had to have the payment of sin made in full. Otherwise, you would not be a holy God. And so as we think of the blood of Christ, it was the price paid to propitiate a holy God, to pay the payment for our sin. And that without the shedding of blood, that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sins. We turn to Exodus chapter 12. We have the feast of the Passover. Next is chapter 12, in verse 3. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth month they shall, tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, and with your loins gird it, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I exercise judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And here we find the great feast of the Passover. First Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 7, it says, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here we have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Passover. And notice that the great picture here was that if those families in faith took the blood of the Lamb, and they put the blood of the Lamb and they sprinkled drops of that blood on the side post and the head post of the doorway. And so the sideboards and the top board of the doorway, they sprinkled blood on that. And of course, that night, the death angel passed through Egypt. And every family that had the blood on the doorposts, the death angel passed by. But every family that ignored that command, who was perhaps thought that somehow it wasn't important, or thought it to be foolish, every other family that had not the blood of the lamb on the doorpost that night, all the firstborn in that family, in that household, all the animals, all the peoples, all them died that night. And of course, here we have the picture of Jesus Christ, our substitute. Jesus Christ, our substitute. Jesus Christ, who took our death, who took our sin, that we might live. And of course, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." And of course, that substitute was pictured way in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. God gave them the promise, and Adam and Eve believed the promise. And Adam called his wife Eve, and God went and shed the blood of innocent animals and took the garments of those innocent animals and covered Adam and Eve and covered their bodies, covered their sins as a picture of their salvation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is secondly pictured in the Passover lamb, the one that innocent animal who had to, whose blood had to be shed. He was pictured as one who died in our place. Every family that didn't kill a lamb, they had someone that died that night. And, you know, I wonder tonight, when life is over, when life is over, will the blood of Jesus Christ be on your account? Or will you have to face the death that is due all those who know not Jesus Christ? And then we find, thirdly, in Numbers chapter 19, we find the ordinance of the red heifer. Numbers 19, the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer, without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp. And one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung and shall he burn. And the priest shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. And then the priest shall wash his clothes and shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his flesh in water and shall be unclean until the even. And the man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. He that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day. And on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify himself not the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Who toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. That soul shall be cut off from Israel because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it, it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth that is slain with a sword in the open field or a dead body or a bone of a man or of a grave shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put there into a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, and sprinkle it upon the tent, and upon all the vessels, and upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, shall wash all his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be unclean at even. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even. Now, this is an ordinance in which we realize that as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And physical death is the result of sin. And when someone touched someone that was dead, they were unclean. They were unable to go into the temple or the tabernacle and worship the Lord. And before they could worship the Lord, that person had to wash his clothes. They had to bathe themselves, and they had to be sprinkled with the water of separation. And what the water of separation was that they took the red heifer, and they took this red heifer who was killed, and whose all his existence was burnt in fire. And the ashes of that red heifer were kept. And when someone now was unclean and they wanted to be clean, cleansed and worship the Lord, they had to take some of those ashes and they had to mix it with water. And then that would have to be sprinkled upon them. And it was it was symbolic of the death and of the blood that was shed of this red heifer. And of course we have a very same parallel in the New Testament. And we find that in 1 John. and other places. Hebrews talks about the sprinkling of the blood. But 1 John. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's an interesting verse in the Bible. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It seems that this text is talking about the fact that there are known sins, and there's a multitude of things in our life that are unrighteous, do not fit the perfect righteousness of God. They may be unknown to us. They're still unrighteous. But we can't confess them because we don't even know maybe that they're sin. But the Bible says if we confess our sin, if we confess that which we know to be sin, then the Bible says that God will not only forgive us of our sin, but he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have this work of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ continuously in our life. You ever thought about the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ in our life? I believe that's what is pictured here by the blood of the red heifer. The continuous cleansing of the death of Christ in our life because we are sinners and we need to be completely clean before God if we are to worship him. You know, I'm afraid that a lot of our thinking today is dominated by Catholic theology. And Catholic theology has this idea, you know, that you go to the priest and you confess your sin, and now you got your sins confessed, and he forgives you, and you're okay. But you know, the fact is, nobody ever confesses all their sins to the priest. And most people that go to a priest don't even know what sin is anyhow. And there's a ton, I guess that would be a figure of speech, there's a multitude of sins in people's lives that are wrong. And God knows they're wrong. And God's a holy God. And God doesn't just, no problem. It's the blood of Jesus Christ and his work of cleansing in our life that allows us to have fellowship with a holy God. Sometimes we are so foolish as to think that, you know, I don't even need to confess my sins. I can just have fellowship with God. I can come to church and, I was disrespectful to my parents in the afternoon, but I can come to church and no problem. Oh, really? You know, we can have a conversation Sunday afternoon and we can gossip or we can lie about someone or lie to someone and go to church and no problem. Oh, there is a problem. There is a problem. That sin has to be taken care of. But there's also a multitude of other things that are in our life that we don't even maybe have forgotten about or don't even know about. And a holy God requires them all to be taken care of. And the Bible says that we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that is a part of the picture here of the red heifer. The red heifer who was died and whose blood was shed, and through that ordinance, that blood was applied through the ordinance of the red heifer, that person could be clean and worship God. And so tonight we think of the greatness of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. He paid the penalty of our sins. He was our substitute. He took our death. God the Father was separated from the Lord Jesus. He put upon him our sin. And those who have the blood of the Lord Jesus, their death, their spiritual death, has been taken care of. And yet we're still sinful people, aren't we? We're still sinful people. And the blood of Jesus Christ yet still cleanses us from our sin in our daily life. The blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews talks about the cleansing of our conscience. You know, people spend millions of dollars. Some people would, if they could, would spend millions of dollars to get their conscience clean. To be able to go to sleep at night. To be able to get rid of the horrors and the memories of sin and the things that they... ways in which they have violated their conscience and God. But no words of any a psychiatrist or drugs of a psychiatrist that don't talk about the blood of Jesus Christ can take away any guilt of sin. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse our conscience. Amen. What a wonderful thing, the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And we all here stand in great debt to our God for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross for our sin. And it's good for us to look at these Old Testament references to really understand what Jesus did on the cross and that how he appeased the wrath of a holy God, and any man, no man, none of us would be able, can stand in the sight of a holy God without the blood of Jesus Christ. It is so foolish for a man to think that he can stand before God without the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a holy God. And to think that because the blood of Jesus Christ is on our account, that all our sins have been forgiven, and we have had the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to our account. And so God sees us in Jesus Christ. And then to think that every day, most all of us sin, but there's been a provision for that sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. Because it was shed, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we walk with God, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on our behalf. Some good thoughts for us to think about tonight as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we think of that precious blood was shed on Calvary's cross for you and I. It's no little thing, is it? It's no mystical, trite a ceremony. It's a tremendous opportunity to worship our God who has paid the price by shedding His blood for you and I. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You that His blood was shed once and for all for the payment of our sin. We thank You that His blood was presented before the Father on the mercy seat. And the Holy God was, His justice was satisfied. And Lord, I pray tonight for anyone who is here tonight who has not put their trust in what Jesus Christ's blood did for them on Calvary's cross, that they would, Lord, understand this great truth that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that, Lord, that in figure, everyone who has trust the blood of Jesus Christ has that blood applied to the doorposts of their house. And the death angel that will send souls to hell will pass over. And only the angel who takes soul into heaven will come to that house. And now, Lord, even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, might we be reminded of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed on our behalf. And may we marvel tonight as we think of this wonderful truth that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Nothing else could do it. Thank You for that wonderful provision that we could have a clean heart, clean mind, a clean soul before You in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.